So my wife's over here pushing my buttons. You know, if you want it done right, then you got it. Somebody's got to know how to do those things. Hey, folks, we are in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. What a great book this has been. And one thing that we know, because we've done this every single week, that to finish it all up, we just need to come to God. Understand Him. In Ecclesiastes, there's a bunch of really hard sayings, a bunch of hard ideas, a bunch of things that are real life and the struggle of real life problems. And if we only look at it in our own mind and our own ability, it does seem as vanity. It really does. It seems like it's all worthless. What are you going to do? Get up and go to work and work all day, and then tomorrow, what are you going to do? Get up and go to work and work all day. Labor, sweat, toil, all your life, and you're going to die and leave it to somebody else. Right? That's what he said. And vanity of vanity, says the preacher. Until you come into the house of the Lord. Until you come into the presence of the Most High God, and you can see a glimpse of the purpose of all the work that's done under the sun. I guess if we would have started in chapter 12 and worked backwards, it probably would have been easier to swallow some of those sayings. But those sayings were just, they were real. They were from a man who had tried everything, and he had the money, the funds to try everything. He was the king, richest person ever on earth, wisest person ever on earth. He had a special gift from God that he would bless him financially, bless him in space and time, bless him with all of the blessings of heaven, from the heavens, right? That's what I was trying to say. He's going to bless him in this physical plane with supernatural understanding, supernatural abilities, and a depth of wisdom that no other human has come close to, short of Christ himself. And what a blessing that is. And did he do it all perfectly? No. He didn't. He did some things that the scripture told him not to do. You're not supposed to just build barns and get extra horses and chariots and have a bunch of strange women.
Multiply wives,
horses. Yep. God says don't do that kind of stuff. But, you know, how much is enough, right? Who was it? Hugh Hefner said, how much is enough? Just a little bit more. And so he had the ability and the freedom from God to try all those
Howard
things.
Hughes.
Pardon?
Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes, yeah. Thank you. I called Hughes that different guy. It's the two H's, whatever. And so, one is a dirty book guy, isn't he? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, he's not happy.
Neither one of them are.
That guy's not happy. Well, Hefner's dead.
Yeah.
Oh, is he dead now?
Yeah. And so is the other guy.
Well, he didn't look happy. It's like, oh, last days.
Right. They're bookends. Probably in the same stew, close in heaven, hell. So, don't know for sure. But if I was to guess, that's what I would guess, if you compare scripture with scripture. But that's not mine to judge. Right? What is mine to judge is that when we come into this, we need to understand the sweet and pleasant things that God allowed Solomon's eyes to behold. He saw some really neat stuff. He built some wonderful, the Hanging Gardens. He built so many wonderful things. You know how I'm kind of caught up in a little herbiculture now, just trying to learn how some of the plant things work? He had all of that, right? He just looked at a plant and said, that stuff's going to heal this. The root over there, this is what that does, you know. And he knew how to take care of all, what they call it, alchemy? Isn't that what it's called? Alchemy?
Yeah.
Alchemy?
No, alchemy would be like
where you take,
alchemy would be potions.
Potions, yeah.
Potions.
Like almost like a chemist.
Yeah, right. And that's really what it is. You take how to make a tincture. That's almost like a chemist, or how you pull the medicine out of something and make it. So you got to be an alchemist to do that.
Apothecary is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know what apothecary is. Isn't you know,
it's an alchemist, isn't it?
It's just a different word for alchemist.
Is this
anyhow, he knew a lot of stuff. Yeah. He knew a lot of stuff. But the only thing that really mattered is that he knew God and that God knew him. Out of all the things that he knew, the best thing that he knew is that God is in charge, that God loved him, that God cared for him, that God gave him things to write to us the depth of wisdom that he had gained while he was on this earth. And a lot of the stuff that he wrote seems like it was almost useless until this last chapter. And this last chapter, like I said, to me, is the best chapter out of the whole book. You know, there's a lot of stuff to look at. But when he says, let's go to the Lord real quick and just ask a prayer on it. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for this study. It has been a blessing. Lord, as we open up these next couple verses, these next bits of knowledge that you're offering us here tonight, Lord God, help us to glean through it and to find those rich pieces, Father, that would strengthen our walk with you. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Well, the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinder is low. He shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and the daughters of the music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of what is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be burdened, and desire shall fail, because a man goeth to his long house, and the mourners go about in the streets. Or even the silver cord be loosened, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern. And that's the first period. That's why I read that far. I want to get the whole sentence. That's a long sentence. Mm-hmm. And so anyhow, to back up. In that very long sentence, remember the days of your Creator in your youth. It's best to get saved when you're young. You know, I look at at John back there, and at a young age, how old are you? Like 20-something? 22. If I would have known the Lord and had a real relationship when I was 22 years old, how my life would have been different, right? Who here can testify to that? As I look back at over 50, some of y'all are much older than that, and you look back in your life, and you look at the wasted years, the things that you, if you would have known God, you wouldn't have done that, right? You would have known the fear of the Lord. Always remember those days, because those are training days to get you to get as old as I am without half of the mistakes or heartaches or messed up things that I did in my life. God can protect you from all of that because you're applying God's word in your life now, which will give you a buffet for years to come. Amen. If you just, like you said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, right? The older you get, the worse it becomes. It really is. Right now, man, you're 22 years old. As we saw earlier in Ecclesiastes, enjoy the work of your hands. Enjoy your youth. Enjoy the strength that you have. Right? Because the other day I mentioned it, I was installing some carpet in the room upstairs. And, I mean, yeah, it's a 250, 300 pounds of carpet, right? When I was your age, I would have snatched that up, threw it on my shoulder, and danced up the stairs, right? I was bragging at it. It was not a pretty sight. I made it, right? But I didn't make it with the grace that I had when I was, or the strength that I had when I was 22 years old, right? It was a different time. But you are going to get this age, right? By the grace of God.
And there are blessings.
Yes, there are.
There are blessings.
Yep.
One of the older ones here.
Yeah.
There are blessings in reaching this age, having walked with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I got saved when I was 22.
Oh, Elisha.
And the Lord is good.
Mm-hmm.
He is, and it does not diminish. It grows with age.
Right. Amen. It's the
there's beauty in youth, but
there's wisdom in age, right? And walking with God for all those stretching years. Dave, I mean, you got saved when you were. You've been walking with the Lord. You got saved when you was two. I came out the womb. I'm not saved, baby. Yeah. Right? And but I understand, right? You understood what good, what righteousness, what unrighteousness is. And you were brought up in a home that. How has the walk been with you?
Oh, it's not good.
It's.
I didn't go through any of that.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff because we had a youth group church too that is a service group. We were always looking to do things for others and the Lord was blessing us the whole time.
Yeah.
So I was thankful that I didn't go through any of that.
Yeah. Praise God.
It's great not to have regrets.
Yes.
And
right.
That's where it is.
Yeah.
When you're young and you get it right.
Yeah.
It's good to have just.
And
you get old and you have no. You don't have regrets.
Right. I mean, I look back at my life and there's so many things I wish I would have never done, tasted, seen. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and if I would have been walking in the fear of the Lord, I wouldn't have. My life would have been different. Go ahead, Rob.
So when you get older, it's like that appreciation though runs deep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you've gone through all those hard times and you've strayed, it like you appreciate it like immensely. Like it's just it's on a whole new other level.
Yeah.
So
yeah, if you've never gone hungry.
There's a point to that.
Yeah.
There's a point to it and we are unique vessels. We are each unique vessels and it is in part the scarring. It goes back to the Chinese thing where they fill their cracks with bright gold.
Right.
In a vessel. They don't try to hide it.
Right.
They fill it with gold.
Yeah.
Or silver.
Yeah. Make it stand out. Because
it
is
stand out.
Beauty.
Because it is part of who we are as his vessel.
Yeah, those mistakes made me strong enough to stand. Right? Or not strong enough to stand. It made me have compassion with people that might be caught in the same snare that I was caught in. Right? And truly have compassion with that. Right? I understand what it's like to, after living and experience some of that stuff, but on the other hand, never having to experience that stuff, never carrying the hurt, the pain, the regrets of those things, what a blessing it is. God is good on both sides. You know, when your heart, your life is turned over to the Lord, he can make the ugly beautiful. You know, he can make a way where there is no way. And he's done that over and over. And so he says, while the evil days come not, and the years come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There is that time, right? Folks, if you've ever dealt with, I guess I can talk about my Uncle Garland like this. He, when he was younger, right, he, again, he was just full of energy and strength and stuff like that. Now Alzheimer's is coming, right? It's coming hard. He can remember things way back there, but he can't remember yesterday, right? And he's got this thing going on with his neck. He can't lift his head anymore. And so there's just things, and when you're young, you don't worry about those things. And there comes a time, like you said, that you have no pleasure in the days. You know, that you get to the point where.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Verse 1 at the end says, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get old enough where you just start falling apart, and it's like,
you
just want to die.
Right.
My grandma's like over 100 years old. I'm pretty sure she just wants to die.
Yeah. And so, well, praise God for that. 100 years old. Because, 70 is what you promised. 80 if you're healthy.
Due to strength.
Well, yeah, but her.
Due to strength.
80.
Yeah.
But my grandfather's been gone for a while. You know, it's like, it's sad.
You got to ask yourself where the strength's from.
There you go. Amen.
The
strength is from the Lord. Right?
There you go.
Where does my strength come from? While the sun, nor the light, nor the moon, nor the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In other words, while things are still going good, enjoy them, right? While you can still see the sun, you can enjoy the rain, you can enjoy all those things. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders shall cease, for they are few, those that look out of the windows be darkened, again, it happens with age, right? The grinders, you don't grind. If you were a mill man, you don't do things as much as you used to do, right? You just don't have the energy for it. You just can't do it. When you're young, you can. You can, like I talked about, carrying the carpet up the stairs, stuff like that. When I was young, I could do, I was different. The older I get,
strong men bow.
There you go.
Like
yeah.
Your uncle.
Yeah. You know, absolutely.
Strong one day, and now he bows.
Now he's bowing, yeah. Now he's being led where he used to lead.
Yeah.
You know, and
but in the person that has the Holy Spirit within them, they are still a warrior.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Without muscle mass,
mm-hmm.
but with spirit within them,
yep.
they are warriors.
The fight really changes though. All right.
Yeah.
Now I'm a lot more in prayer, right, than I am in the streets fighting. And you know, I used to be a street preacher in New Orleans, right? And that it was different. I don't think I have the energy to do that no more. But you know what I can do is I can fall on my face before the Lord. I can spend hours in silence and prayer. Right? When I was a young man, I couldn't do that. So there's a blessing in getting older. But there's also a cost in getting older. Right? The older you get, the less strength, the less power you have. But the more wisdom you have. So you're swapping one thing for another. But both are part of the grace of God. Both are the power of God. So don't not want to get older, but while you're young, enjoy your strength.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
And so that's really basically what he's saying there. You don't see anything else in there before we go over to verse 8?
Oh, where it's talking about this very quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like everything's ceasing. People are, you know, not singing, they're not rejoicing. And it says that the hear the birds.
Yeah.
You know, over the people. That's pretty quiet. Quiet time.
Mm-hmm. But talk about, isn't that a wonderful thing? When you're not so busy that you hear the birds.
Reflection.
Right? You have reflection. You meditate. You get still before the Lord a lot easier. You know, that the ripples in the water aren't nearly as much. Things don't bother you as much as they used to when you're young, right? You're looking at the ways of the world or the Vietnam War or whatever, and it'll just bother you. Now the wars that are going on, it's like, okay. Yeah, it just doesn't ripple me or fluster me. The things that I'm seeing going on, I trust God so much more now than what I did then. And no matter what goes on, I trust God. It's a richer, deeper, fuller, I guess, relationship with the Lord than what I've ever had. But you couldn't get it until you got older. You couldn't get it until you got still. Right? And so, enjoying those things. And so, I think you were in verse 5 there, weren't you? Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, the fear shall be in the way, but the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be burdened, and desire shall fail, because a man goeth into his longhouse, and the mourners about in the streets, or the silver cord be loosened, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken in the fountain, or the wheel be broken in the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto the God that gave it. Think about that. I've said this, and I've read this several times, but I've been misquoting it for a long time. When you die, you will go to the God whom you served. Now, that's a true statement, but it's not Bible, right? If you serve the flesh, you're going to go to the God of flesh, which will be hell, it will be Lucifer, it will be the deceiver. If you serve God, remember God in the days of your youth, right? You remember that? Then you will go to the God who created you, right? Everybody's going to go back to dust. Mm-hmm. This carcass that we're wrapped up in is going to return to dust, right? That you're made from the dust, you shall return to the dust. That's what it is. But the real you is underneath this. The real you, I don't see the real you. My spirit connects with your spirit because we're connected by the Spirit of God. But the real you, Well, someday this corruption will put on incorruption. And I don't know what he is like in this form, but when I see him, I'm going to be like him, right? And that goes with every true believer in Jesus Christ. Yeah, things look bad today. Lance and I were talking in the parking lot after men's study last night and about the pressures and the weirdness and the hurt that's happening on the world scene right now. Right? It's ugly. But God, right? None of this stuff is surprising God. None of this stuff. All these people are going to die and they're going to go to their judgment. They're either going to be judged by the righteousness or in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and found worthy because of his work on the cross, or they're going to be judged in themselves and found unworthy. You've been weighed in the measure, measured in the balances, and found lacking. Right? Everyone's going to go there. My balances, and anybody who's trusted in Jesus Christ in my younger days, because I'm older now. I was younger when I trusted him. In my youth, when I came to know Jesus Christ, everything changed. The scales changed, because it was, you're going to hell, there's no doubt. Then Jesus put his thumb on the scale, one drop of blood, and he says, no, you have a relationship with the Most High God. Your sins are covered by my blood. You are righteous, not because of your work, but because of my work. Do you trust that? Amen. And when you get to that place of trusting it, it doesn't matter what happens to this body. It's going to go back to dust. All of those things that are happening, and you're talking about the children that are getting hurt and all those things that are happening, God cares. That 4-year-old child we talked about in prayer, God cares about that baby. He cares about those family members, you know. And I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I can't say heaven or hell. I can't say that. I wish I could, but I can't. One thing I can say is that God's compassion covers that whole scene. Whether they're righteous or unrighteous, he loves them because they're made in his image. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came that even the unrighteous might have hope. And I don't know the ins and outs of that situation or the situations of all those children you're talking about last night that you're mentioning. It's evil, it's wicked, amen and amen. Two favorite words in the Bible, again, but God. Right? It is evil, it is wicked, there's no doubt about it. But we have a God in heaven. We have a Savior. We have a hope. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Right? Go back and remember those things. Remember his goodness, his faithfulness, his righteousness. When it looks like everything's going crazy, you look at these people we're praying for all across the world, Case and Bay. You look at those people, it looks horrible for them. But God, right? God, he's with them right now in the midst of their jail cell. He's with them right now at this very moment. No matter what the torment or tortures or hard time be, God never left them. He never forsook them. He promised that he wouldn't. These things that we were talking about, and I don't know, I've been so, I won't say consumed, but in tune to the things that have been going on. Sometimes we look too much at that and not enough at him. Yeah. Right?
And that's the danger. That's the danger.
That is the danger, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can look at the car wreck and miss the ambulance. Right? And this, if you look at the world and the state that it's in, it looks like it's a massive car wreck, a train wreck, just devastation everywhere. But there's a Savior, there's a rescuer in the midst of the flame, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the hard times. And we're supposed to be looking there. It is bad here. There's no doubt. Not much good happens on this planet. And it looks like it's waxing worse and worse, just like he promised it would. But God, his mercy still being poured out, his love still being poured out. He's still working in the hearts and the lives of individuals to reach the hurting and the lost. All of those children that we're talking about, there is somebody somewhere with the mercy of God on their lips for that child. Don't know how or where. Can't understand it. Can't even wrap my head around the things that happen. But I know that God loves them. He cares for them. Yeah.
In my father's, it is my father's world. And
yeah.
All the wrong seems all so strong. He is the ruler of that.
Yeah. Amen.
But sometimes it's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is. It's overwhelming. And it only gets overwhelming when we take our eyes off of Jesus. Right? When Peter got out of the boat, the sea was raging. Tremendous waves crashing over the boat. And he gets out and he walks on the water until he takes his eyes off of Christ. It doesn't say if he walked one step or 50 yards. Don't know. What I do know is that he got out of the boat. Right? He got out of the boat by faith and he was looking at Jesus Christ and he walked on the water in the midst of the storm. When he took his eyes off of Christ and put it on the storm, he began to sink. And even as he sank, he cried out, "Lord Jesus, help." And he was there.
Immediately.
He was there. Pulled him out of the water. I don't understand all the ins and outs of it, but I trust him. Go ahead, brother.
Interesting point in that. It's the, you know, it shows that the world doesn't carry any weight, you know, compared to God. Otherwise, he would have sank.
Yeah.
It was like the world didn't even exist. He was walking on water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The elements don't matter. The problems don't matter. The hurts don't matter. When you have a God that's with you, never leaves you, never forsakes. Remember your Creator. Remember Him always. Because He is the only answer for all of these things. In verse 8, He says, "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity." Wow, sounds like verse 1, chapter 1, doesn't it? And "vanity, vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd." Amen. I love that. If you got a good preacher, a good counselor, somebody who's able to encourage you, even in the midst of the storm, encourage you. It does look bad. And I ain't saying I'm him, but I'm the one you got. I need to be the one who did right here, but I'm the one you got. And I will do my best to give good counsel. I will do my best to lead you to Christ. I will do my best to have words that encourage and build up, but also words that are truthful enough to straighten the crooked way. Right? And all of us ought to have that in us if we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. You have just as much authority as any human being on the earth if you're filled. You have just as much wisdom if you're filled with God, if you're filled with the Spirit of God. If you use the Bible as the compass, the direction, you'll always give good advice. May not be liked advice, may not be comfortable advice. It will be wise advice because you took it out of God's Word. It will be advice that brings life and not death because you took it out of God's Word. But to take it out of God's Word, you got to put God's Word into you. Right? You got to have it in you before you can get it out of you. You can't go with an empty cup and try to give somebody water. You got to put something in it. And if you put the wisdom and the power and the knowledge of the Most High in your cup, when you give that drink to somebody, it will be truly refreshing, even if they can't understand it at that moment. I know in our lives, me and Debbie, we've given that spiritual water to people and watched them spit it right out. That's okay. We did what was right. We gave them the truth. What they did with that truth, consuming it, taking strength from it, or spitting it out has nothing to do with what you did with it. God provides the increase. Apollos planted, Paul watered, but God gave the increase, right? And so remembering that, the words of the wise are as goads, right? And now wisdom, he's talking about God's wisdom, right? And those goads, they're the directional, how you drive an ox. You know, an ox doesn't have a steering wheel. Has two ropes that come over a yoke that goes over his neck, and on that yoke there's two pointy sticks that come back right around in his sternum. That's what you call that, right? Sternum. Up around in here. And you pull it one way, it sticks up, pull it in, and it goes that way. Right? And it sticks on that side and goes that way. That's how you give direction to oxen. Moo. Right? The words of wisdom are like goads. Our job is to speak wisdom into the situation, God's wisdom into the situation, to give direction that leads back to Christ. That's the end of the row, right? If you're plowing a good straight row and you're a farmer, what you try to do is get to the end of the field. The end of the field for the Christian is the glory of God. And we continually teach that, preach that, bring people in that way, give them direction. It's acceptable, all right? Verse 12. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and such study is a weariness of the flesh. Much study is weariness of the flesh. I don't know if y'all have ever, y'all folks that went to school for a long time, the nurses down here, I've seen somebody, I look at your face, yeah. Right? You give those 24 hours of study, you know, and you're reading these big, huge, thick books. It's worrisome. It's hard to do. Right? And he says that, and further, by these, my son, be admonished, be trained up, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. I bet when you're going through your college courses there, you become a nurse, you looked at that stack of books and said, there's no end. There is no end. Right? And so there's no end of the books, there is no end. And much study is weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Amen? This is all that really matters. Everything that we've said, everything that we ever said, this is the fullness of it. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You talk to folks and they say, I want to know what my call from God is. I want to know what my duty here, what is my service here on the earth. Well, here it is. It's two things, but it's the hardest thing you'll ever do. Fear God. Honor him with everything you got because he has the power over life and death. He's the only one who can take your life and cast your soul in hell. He's it. Right? Fear him. All right? And keep his commandments. That's the whole thing. You got to know the commandments to keep them. So you read the Word of God. You find out the direction of God. You put those commandments in your life in a real personal way. And you walk in that narrow path that leads to righteousness. You continually do that. And again, His Word is a lamp to your feet. Right? How do you know that you're on the path still? You have the written Word of God that keeps you in that narrow way. And keep doing that. Keep going back to it. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Amen. There's nothing hid before God. I like that last verse a lot because I can fool you, you can fool me, but we ain't fooling God. And there will come a day where everything is exposed. Everything is exposed. And it will be found under the blood of Jesus Christ, or it will be out as a beacon of unrighteous works before every soul that's ever lived on the world. So which do you want? I want to be covered in the righteous
book.
I love this book too. I like all the books. I've read the whole thing. I haven't found a bad one yet.
No, I know. Some people, they have an affinity for some they don't.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, this book in Proverbs is... Well, even the Song of Solomon, I'm reading that. Man,
it's
I just.
Hard one,
you know? Yeah, it's. I don't know if I'll ever teach that book. So, Song of Solomon.
To the next.
Next we're going to Jeremiah. That's what the Lord laid on my heart to get into. Because as I'm going through it in my personal reading and studying and writing, I'm seeing America so prevalent, especially in the first 17 chapters of that book. It is
sobering.
It is sobering.
I read Lamentations recently, and I just could not. It's the first time I ever read Lamentations that I could read the day we're in.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Without
it seemed
doubt.
To me so current.
It's like you watch the news, you know, and the heartbeat of God is in that, because even though Israel sinned and turned, God's compassion was, if you will return to me, if you will just bring up your children to know, love me, fear me, to walk in my statutes, I'll fix this.
You wonder if almost it's like Jeremiah, because I think there's more and more people are Jeremiah's kind of coming up now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Jeremiah, as he lamented and wept.
Yeah.
Is God lamenting and weeping now?
Yeah.
And crying out.
Oh, I believe it.
It's coming.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going on long enough.
Yeah.
It's gotten worse.
Yeah. And, well, and again, that's fulfilling scripture. It's going to get worse and worse. Mm-hmm. Iniquity is going to abound. The love of many are going to wax cold. Go ahead.
Oh, I just had a real quick piece. In 11 there, Ecclesiastes, it says, the words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assembly.
Yeah.
So that piece, along with that second part in 13, says, fear God and keep his commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not keep them and hold on to them and memorize them. That's applying to your life.
Yes.
You can have wisdom, you can have knowledge, you can have all kinds of things. But if it's not seen in your life, and what good is it?
Yeah.
What good are you? Mm-hmm. You know, you take someone who maybe got saved later, you know, Curtis, not, you know, against you, talking about your son.
Right.
You know, he sees you somewhat now, but his memory is old.
Right.
Of what happened a long time ago. That's what he remembers. That's his experience. So when he hears about Jesus
now,
he hears about Jesus now, what's the first thing in his mind that he thinks?
Mm-hmm.
Hypocrite.
Right.
I saw you here.
Yeah.
Your life did not resemble Jesus here. Why are you telling me about? I'm not spending time with you now.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not saying that.
Oh, no.
However, if our lives don't
exude
Christ, not perfectly, but if people can't see Jesus in you, don't tell them about Jesus.
Right. Amen.
Better off, you know,
better
being
off.
Quiet. And
if
we jump over to Matthew, it's only a couple, you don't even have to go there. In chapter 7, in 26, it says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, it talks about, you know, his house.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very end, in 29, it says, for he taught, this is Jesus. Close to the end of the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
It says, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes.
Right.
Because the scribes did all these things and said all these things, but didn't apply them to their life. Jesus did exactly what he said, and that's why he had authority. You know, it says, don't do as the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites.
Yeah. Beware of the leaven of the scribes.
Right. They say these things, but they don't do it.
Right.
So
absolutely.
If your time's limited, maybe tell them about Jesus. But
mm-hmm.
if you spend any time with him, let them see.
Yeah.
Let them see Jesus in you, and then tell them.
Right.
You know.
Yeah,
so when you started,
go ahead.
You started in verse 11, I love the end of it where it says, which are given from one shepherd.
That's exactly right. That's Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It was given from one shepherd.
That's right.
And that's why I tell folks, I'm not the shepherd. Right, I'm a sheepdog. That's all I am. You know,
you're following Jesus.
I'm following Jesus.
That's right.
He looks and I go. Right, and my job is try to nip at your heels and see if we can get the whole body going in the same direction. Right. Go ahead, brother.
I think that's where Jesus comes in. It's like people can look at other people's examples and be like, "Oh, you have the wrong teaching." It's like, well, if you just read a little bit of the Bible, you can see that it has immense wisdom in it.
Yeah.
You know, and it does take supernatural power to open up your eyes to see that.
Yeah.
Because you could read it all day and be like, oh, it's a book.
Yeah.
I don't know if people can say it's just a book.
Yeah.
To me,
I most folks who aren't born again will not read it. Yeah, they just won't read it. It because it's just
spiritually
discerned.
Like he's saying, that's why it's good just to keep your mouth shut if you're not, you know, following that through and through, because
mm-hmm.
people are looking at your
yeah.
example.
Right. And so, any other prayers, thoughts, praises? We are about ready to bust open Jeremiah next week.
I have a question on the silver cord. Is there other parts in the Bible that mention that? Is that the tether that literally connects your soul to your fleshly body?
Because
it's talking about the broken vessels.
That's
yeah.
talking about death.
Yeah, that's talking
that whole
about death.
Section is referring to
yeah.
when you die. If
right.
you look at anything with the cistern, the wheel, and the cistern being broke,
mm-hmm.
that's the end.
Yeah.
You can't crush no more grain when the wheel's broke.
Right.
That's
silver cord.
You're dead. And
yeah.
at the end it says your spirit
returns
back to God.
Right.
Yeah, and that, so that it's a good example of how much vanity, you know, the fleshly shell is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's comparing it to a piece of pottery, just goes back to the earth.
Yeah.
But what's in it? You know, it's like God takes the important thing.
Right. Well, God takes what he breathed into us.
Yeah.
He scooped
well,
up
this
the mud.
Sin.
Yeah,
this is
sin.
Is,
yeah.
So this can't go.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the
we
way he made man, he scooped up dirt, and he breathed into it, and it became a living soul.
So why it's this too, that all glory goes back to God.
Yeah.
It's like all glory belongs to him, it all returns to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's none of ours.
It's the first thing the prophets do, they get resurrected and go up to heaven, right?
Yeah.
They basically like bow down on their
mm-hmm.
hands and knees and
yeah.
praise all glory goes to God.
Yeah.
Well, and the ones that tried to take the glory and
yeah.
keep it for their own.
Didn't fare too well for him.
Nebuchadnezzar?
Yeah, you're right.
He'd say, look what my hand did.
Yeah. And say, yeah, you're going to eat like an ox for 3 years, dude. And so run around the field. And so any other prayer changes? All right, let's close with prayer. Who's led by the Lord wants to pray something? You got it, brother? All right.
I'll do it.
I
know somebody else wants to pray.
Lord, wait.
Okay. Dear Grace Heavenly Father, just thinking there how Lord, that you take care of the sparrow, Lord.
Mm. Yes, Lord.
You provide for the sparrow. And so much of our life, Lord, is just taken up with vanity of vanities. All is vanity.
Mm.
So much of our life is distracted, and we're so caught up in it. We're run to and fro. And yet, Lord, if we would just fear you and simply obey your commandments, we would be that sparrow, and we would be provided for. And I think so much of the things we deem to be necessary would not be that necessary, because you, Lord, would provide. And it's just like that verse of scripture talks about, if my people will humble themselves, repent, pray, seek my face, turn to me, I will heal the land.
Yes, Jesus.
And Lord, you are the healer. You are the great physician. And you provide for that sparrow. You can provide for us.
Mm-hmm.
If we would just, and all this vanity, and what we think is so necessary, really, ultimately, could be just pure vanity. And if we would fear you and be resolved to do that, to fear you, and to obey your commandments, you would be strong in our
yes.
lives, and you would be the great, true. You are the true provider and the Father and the giver of all things. And how much, Lord, I believe your heart yearns for that, Lord. But we go on in our sin, in our rebellion, in our blindness, and then pursuing our vanities. It makes life so much harder and so much more empty. And Lord, you cry out, you call out, you plead with men to turn to you, obey you, and fear you, and Lord, your hand is open. And you open those windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. And we will be the children of your kingdom, Lord. And we would rest in you. Help us to rest in you, Lord. In these days that are here, around us, Lord, the days are getting dark and strange, very queer and strange. And Lord, I just pray that we would fear you even more so now than ever, and obey you. greater commandments. And Lord, build a hedge, put a hedge about us, cover us, Lord. And Lord, not that, Lord, we would just wallow in laziness but actually, Lord, as you cover us, we would be increased, Lord, to work for you, and we would be more single-minded to the kingdom. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all go have a strong week.
Strong week.
Jake, it's good to see you, brother.
Square button, right?